Welcome to the Monty's Rockcast Halloween Special. And now, here's your host, Monty Caldwell.
Hey, 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 it's Monty. Welcome to the Halloween edition of the Rockcast.
It's very, very scary.
Yes, it's October, and once again, it's that special time of year.
Really?
Well, it's really not that special for me. I could really care less about Halloween one way or the other. But for a lot of people, it's special. Because you get to dress up and pretend you're somebody else and take your kids door to door so they can get candy and then teach them about witchcraft and listen to satanic music.
Oh, that is so nice.
It's just fun for the whole family.
It's just wonderful stuff.
And so today, besides all the usual things that I always do, like reading your emails and top tens and playing cool tunes, I will be celebrating All Hallows Eve by doing the entire show in costume. And if you've got one, I suggest you go put it on right now. And then sit back and enjoy the show as I conjure up the spirits of stupidity. Well, here's a guy that's pretty scary himself. It's our old friend from Kansas City, Jimmy Jeff.
Jimmy Jeff's concert and CD reviews.
On the phone, it's Jimmy Jeff.
Hey, what's going on?
Not much. How you doing?
Man, I ain't talked to you in ages.
Yeah, what's it been? Like, a month?
Dude, you should have me on every show.
Yeah.
I could do a whole segment on NASCAR.
Well, I don't...
Or maybe we could do Jimmy Jeff's hunting and fishing report.
Okay, well, let me think on that, and we'll see what we can do.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
Yeah, we'll see.
In fact, I'd say the more of me and the less of you, the better.
Oh, well, come on, man.
You could stop pissing everyone off with your bad music that you play and all the talk about politics.
No, you don't like that either, huh?
Everybody already knows that Obama's a big communist.
Yeah?
And he wants to take away our guns and make us go to concentration camps and wear dresses like Bruce Jenner.
Well, now I've never...
So you can just stop talking about that and start talking about something we don't already know.
Okay, like what?
When's there gonna be a new Shinedown album?
Oh, well, actually, I have that.
Oh, no way. Are you yanking me?
No, I've had it for a while. You want to hear some of it?
Oh, well, hell yeah, dude.
All right. Well, here's some new Shinedown off their CD, Threat to Survival.
Turn it up so you can hear the bell. When you spit on everyone, you are
What do you think?
Oh, man, they are one of my favorite bands of all time.
Wow, even more than Jackal?
Oh, yeah.
More than Theory of a Dead Man?
Oh, hell yeah.
Seether?
Yep.
Papa Roach?
Yeah.
Five Finger Death Punch?
I reckon.
Uh-huh. Well, what about Nickelback?
Well, hold on right there, buddy boy.
What?
Now you're just getting carried away.
Uh-huh.
There's only one Nickelback.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But I'd still put Shinedown up against anybody when it comes to a live show.
Yeah, well, I really wouldn't know.
Yeah, I've seen them about 25 times.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you have. Let's hear another song.
Alrighty. So peace to us.
Okay, well, there's some new Shinedown for you.
Oh, man, that is awesome stuff right there.
Ah, you like that, do you?
Oh, hell yeah. Do you think I can get that at Walmart?
Well, I'm sure you can if you want to buy that.
What, you don't like Shinedown?
Well, you know, I think they're a good band.
Damn straight they are.
And I think they know how to write catchy tunes that get played on the radio.
Yeah, they do.
But I just don't get their popularity.
Huh?
People here in Kansas City act like they're the Beatles or something. And this new album is just so formulated.
What?
But I'm guessing they write for their audience, which I assume is mostly redneck morons.
Whoa, say what?
Yeah, so, Jimmy Jeff, have you heard the new Seven Dust album?
Seven Dust?
Yeah, they got a new CD. Want to hear something from it?
Hell yeah.
All right, here you go.
I wanna find without a choice. Say the word and all is up. I'm the blood of the chosen. Give them something to see. I see the devil and I know your name. My time has come no matter what you'll say.
Okay, what do you think of that?
Well, you know, I've seen Seven Dust about 12 times in the last 3 years.
Oh, wow. Well, what are you doing? Following them around the country on tour or something?
No, it's all been here in town.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I heard that singer lives here or something.
Oh, yeah, I heard that too.
Yeah, he's a black guy.
Yeah, he is.
He ain't got a bad voice, though.
Yeah, well, let's hear another song.
Damn all your little voices, my demons.
So that's some Seven Dust off their new CD, Kill the Flaw.
You know, I kind of like that. That kicks ass.
Well, I will say this, that my criticism of Seven Dust has always been that their songs weren't that great. They've got a great drummer, and they've got some cool riffs, but their singer just seems like he always comes up with the same melody. But on this new one, it appears that they concentrated a little bit more on their songwriting, and it's not too bad.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
All right, well, it's been good talking to you, Jimmy Jeff.
Yeah, I gotta get going.
Oh, yeah, what are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm probably gonna get drunk and watch some reruns of Honey Boo Boo.
I see. Well, you take care, Jimmy Jeff, and I will talk to you soon.
All right, you take her easy and don't let your meat loaf.
Will do, man, and here's some more Seven Dust. Okay, time to continue a tradition that I've been doing for a long time here on the Rockcast. Every year around Halloween, I tell some of my scary stories. But I have to warn you, these are not for the weak of heart. So if you've got small children, you may want to remove them from the room, because some of the things I'm going to describe are frankly terrifying. So brace yourself, because here we go. Our first story begins on a day like any other day. A man and his wife are driving down the street when she suddenly turns to him and says, "You do remember we're going on that Cub Scout camping trip this weekend with the boy?" Now in shock, the husband sat there for several minutes in complete silence. Realizing there was no way out, the family headed that weekend for the lake. Now surrounded by seemingly hundreds of screaming 8-year-old boys, the husband helped set up a tent and began counting the minutes until he was able to leave. However, the minutes felt like hours, and the hours felt like days.
There will be no end to this intense and horrible misery.
The next morning, when the man arose from his slumber, he realized that he had a possible sinus infection, and his back was killing him. You see, camping out and sleeping on the ground when you've got a perfectly good bed at home proved to be not only pointless, but quite painful.
Help me!
The moral to the story? Well, camping may sound like a good idea, but I wouldn't recommend it. As I say at the end of every episode, I'm extremely accessible, and if you ever want to get a hold of me, just drop me an email. And strangely enough, a lot of you actually take me up on the offer. For instance, I got one recently from a guy named Gerald Yoshida. And I met Gerald years ago when I was in Galactic Cowboys, and we were playing somewhere in Canada. And I got up and I was stepping off the tour bus that morning, and I'm sure I was wiping the sleep out of my eyes. And I look up and there's this long-haired guy standing there, and he says, "Hey Monty, what do you like in the way of boots?" And I thought, what? Boots? And I told him, sorry, I don't wear boots. And he's like, no, man, I mean bootlegs, bootleg tapes. What do you like?
Oh!
Yeah, so I found out his name was Gerald, and Gerald hooked me up with some cool live Thin Lizzy stuff. But I hadn't heard from him in a long time, and the other day he added me on Facebook, and he said, hey, Monty, how are you?
What a great question.
Well, thanks for asking, Gerald, and actually, I'm doing pretty well. I've been doing some new paintings and murals, and I've even been writing some new tunes. But I gotta be honest, when it comes to this podcast, a lot of times I get really discouraged with it, because I don't really know how many people are actually listening. And sometimes it feels like nobody is.
No, they're not, idiot.
And so for about a week, I was just telling Lindsay, you know, I just don't know if I'm going to do anymore. And she was like, nah, don't get frustrated. Hang in there. And so I said, well, we'll see.
Quit, stupid.
But almost every time when I'm ready to give up and never do it again, I will get an email or a comment like this one. It's from Iris North, and she says, your rockcasts are basically hour-long interviews with you twice a month. You talk music, but you don't shy away from everyday topics like home life. It's really rare to get that kind of depth and insight from an artist. And that's the main reason the podcasts are so awesome. Well, Iris, I can't tell you how much that means to me, and it's people like you that will keep me interviewing myself for at least a few more episodes.
Oh.
And then the very next day, I got a comment from Emmett Hall, who said, Monty's podcast is one of the few things that make me smile anymore. Well, Emmett, you keep smiling, man, because I'm not going anywhere.
I'm disappointed.
But then Christian in Germany totally made my day when he not only ordered a Rockcast t-shirt, but a Crunchy t-shirt, and then added a kind donation.
Why would you want to do that?
But best of all, he said, hey, Monty, thanks again for the podcast, music, and paintings, and so on. I simply want to write and tell you you are doing a fantastic job. I'm looking forward to each time to the new Rockcast.
He's insane!
Well, Christian, I appreciate it so much, man. And not just that you bought something, but that you're listening and that you really like it. And what can I say? I'm human and I get discouraged sometimes. And I'm serious when I say your kind words and gestures really mean a lot to me.
Well, then shut up with your bitching.
I also appreciate those of you who have been sending me the pictures of yourself wearing the Rockcast t-shirts. I've been posting those on the Rockcast page of my website, and it's pretty cool. You can go on there and see what some of the listeners of the show look like.
They're kind of scary.
For example, my buddy Stu Sturgis is on there, and he just happened to email me recently, and he had a couple of cool suggestions. The first one was concerning TV finales. Stu says, I just finished watching the last episode of Breaking Bad for the third time, and I don't see how you could have a better last show. When they break into Baby Blue by Badfinger, I just about cry. So, Monty, what's your top 10 TV shows that made you feel like you were losing a friend when the show had its finale?
Here's the answer.
Well, yeah, that's a tough one, Stu. I'll have to think about that.
Well, you don't know, do you?
But I know exactly how you felt about Breaking Bad. I loved Walter White, and what a great series. One of my favorite shows of all time. I also almost cried at the finale of Seinfeld. And not just because it was the last show, but because it was so bad. I pretty much liked every episode of that show ever, but then they got to the last one and it was just a dud. Other than that, I'd have to say maybe the last Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. And the very ending of the Newhart show was genius. He wakes up in bed with Suzanne Plachette, which was his TV wife in the original Bob Newhart show, and he realizes the whole Newhart show was just a bad dream.
Utterly unfunny and boring.
Stu also asked me if I had ever done a top 10 list of the top 10 songs that I don't ever want to hear again. And you know, I don't remember if I have or not, Stu, but that's such a great suggestion. I'm going to go ahead and do it right now. Because there's some songs you never get tired of, and then there's other songs that if they come on the radio, I would rather get punched in the throat than sit there and listen to it.
I can't stand it anymore!
This was an easy list to come up with because there was so much to pick from. In fact, the honorable mentions include Ragdoll and Janie's Got a Gun by Aerosmith, Bad to the Bone by George Thorogood, and Old Time Rock and Roll by Bob Seger. How did that not make my list?
That's a no-brainer.
Also not making my list, but just as horrible, are Sledgehammer by Peter Gabriel, Fly by Sugar Ray, and Faithfully by Journey.
Ugh!
And sure, I understand that a lot of these bands and artists who are on my list were very talented. But it doesn't change the fact that I'm sick of these songs, and if you are one of those people who call your classic rock station and request any of this crap, well, there's no excuse for it, and you are a moron.
I believe that's very valid.
So with all that in mind, let's get right to my list. At number 10, it's Cocaine by Eric Clapton. Yeah, I know it's a cover tune. So is I Shot the Sheriff, and I'd even rather hear that than Cocaine. What a bore.
It's all about drugs.
Number 9 is Creedence Clearwater Revival with Born on the Bayou, or Fortunate Son, or any other song by Creedence Clearwater Revival.
My God, they're on drugs!
Number 8 is Losing My Religion by one of my least favorite bands of all time, R.E.M. And yes, I could have gone with Shiny Happy People, but even that song makes me laugh. Losing My Religion just pisses me off.
We've got to ask why.
Because every time it comes on, I can hear some smarmy, hipper-than-thou music journalist say, "Oh, I just love R.E.M. That Michael Stipe is such a genius."
Screw that guy.
All right, moving on. At number 7, I Never Need to Hear Peaceful Easy Feeling by the Eagles ever again.
Well, screw them too.
And that was a tough one because I also had Take It Easy and Desperado to pick from. But I went with, what did I pick? Peaceful Easy Feeling.
Screw up.
At number 6, I just heard this one yesterday on the radio and I thought, oh, that's got to go on my list. It's Babe by Styx.
What?
That's right, Styx at 6. And I used to love them back in the 70s, but when they started doing stuff like this, it was over for me. And I've seen the documentaries about Styx, and not even the guys in the band like these cheesy ballads or Mr. Roboto. But for some reason, the classic rock stations think that we still want to hear, "You know it's you, babe," every single day.
I mean, at a certain point, you gotta say, enough!
Of course, I knew my list would have to have some Red Hot Chili Peppers on it. The hard part was just picking one. And so I just went with a three-way tie of Scar Tissue, Under the Bridge, and Give It Away. I haven't always hated the Chili Peppers. I think Flea's a great bass player, but God, I hate their music now.
It makes my head hurt.
Number 4 may surprise some of you, but I've been hating this song for a long time. It's by Candlebox, and the song is called Far Behind. They got briefly popular in the 90s when the whole Pearl Jam grunge thing was going on. And I never dreamed I'd still be hearing this horrible song in 2015. But the radio stations where I live feel the need to play it all the time. Speak Speaking of grunge, back in the 90s when that was all the rage, Pearl Jam and Soundgarden got together and made a big super group called Temple of the Dog. The result was one of my least favorite songs of all time, and at number 3, it's Hunger Strike.
And quite frankly, it's torturous.
To this day, you can still hear it on the radio, and why not? You get to hear Eddie Vedder going, "I'm going hungry," and Chris Cornell going, "I'm going hungry," and I just really never need to hear any of that ever again.
It's really kind of nauseating.
Number 2 is Tough Enough by the Fabulous Thunderbirds. And all I can say is I never liked that band, I don't like that kind of music, and I think that song sucks. And at number 1, the song that I never need to hear ever again, Sweet Child of Mine by Guns N' Roses.
Well, and that is one of the worst.
For the sake of argument, let's just say you're one of these people who listens to classic rock radio every day of their lives. And you heard Sweet Child of Mine a couple of times on Monday, and then again on Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday. You're telling me you still want to hear it again on Saturday and Sunday? Well, classic rock radio seems to think so, and so does VH1 and VH1 Classic and every radio station ever. And I would say I've heard it too many times in the last 25 years, except I never get past that opening riff. Yep, that's all it takes for me, and I am changing the channel. That's not to say I hate Guns N' Roses, because I think they were a pretty kick-ass band, actually. But I would rather be listening to my iPod or searching for new music than to hear Sweet Child of Mine for the 1,000,000th time. Yeah, that's enough. All right, so that's one of my lists, but let's do one of yours. And earlier, Stu had brought up the topic of TV shows, and coincidentally, listener Eric Conrad had sent me a list of his favorite TV show theme songs. Yeah, TV show theme songs used to be so important, shows like Gilligan's Island and the Brady Bunch. They were real catchy tunes, and they kind of explained what the show was about, but not so much anymore. In fact, these days I don't even know what the theme songs are for most of the shows on TV. But if a show like King of Queens would have been on like in the 70s, I guarantee the theme song would have been something like, "He's a fat guy, but he's married to a hot chick. He's the King of Queens."
That song was pretty good. Yeah, I liked it.
But I think everyone likes TV theme songs. I mean, they must. The other night on Dancing with the Stars, the whole show was dedicated to it, and you had them dancing to stuff like I Dream of Jeannie.
What?
And yeah, I think I just admitted that I still have to watch Dancing with the Stars instead of Monday Night Football.
Kind of embarrassing.
You see, my wife Lindsay likes that show, and I am kind of whipped. Well, what can I say? I'm a fat guy and I'm married to a hot chick.
Oh, please.
Well, I'm not totally fat yet, but I do try to keep my young lady happy. So I agree to watch Dancing with the Stars, but I gotta say, it's not always bad. Because this season on the show, they had Gary Busey. And that dude is just a walking train wreck, and I get a lot of laughs at his expense. Because it doesn't matter how horribly he dances, when he gets through and the judges critique him, he will look at him and say stuff like,
"I am not discouraged by your low scores, because it is impossible to judge the heart of a dancer."
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, strangely enough, when Gary Busey talks, if you close your eyes, you'll almost think it's Jimmy Jeff.
Damn straight.
But now I'm rambling, so let's get to Eric Conrad's list of his favorite TV theme songs. And it starts at number 10 with The Andy Griffith Show. And Eric says, though I have barely even watched the show, the whistling is just gosh damn so catchy and pops into my head every once in a while. Well, yes, I gotta agree, that is a catchy tune, Eric, but you might want to watch the show sometime because it is a classic. But make sure they're the early black and white episodes. Those were with Barney and those are hilarious. But when they went to color and it turned into Mayberry RFD, it went downhill fast. You got characters like Howard Sprague, and I'll tell you, once Opie hit puberty, it was sad.
Pathetic!
But let's move on to number 9, where Eric says he liked the wicked, funky bass line of the theme song from Night Court. You know, I don't really remember that theme song right offhand, but I didn't really watch that show much, nor did I watch number 8, The Addams Family. I was more of a Munsters guy.
Yeah, right. So what?
Number 7 on Eric's list is the theme from What's Happening, and number 6 is the theme song from Cheers. And Eric says, where everyone knows your name, the sentimentality makes me want to start drinking. Well, you're right, Eric. That was a good theme song, and here's something else you might like. It's a cover of the theme from Cheers, done by my favorite band, the Wild Hearts, back in 04. It's from a live gig that they did in Boston back then, and here it is. Check it out. Back to Eric's list. At number 5, it's Welcome Back, Cotter. Oh yeah, John Sebastian. Welcome back. And I still hear that song. In fact, I was in a hardware store the other day and it was playing. And it made me think back to Gabe Kaplan and the Sweat Hogs, and Travolta was on that show. And I thought, gee, why did I think that show was funny? Because looking back, it really wasn't, was it?
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
It was silly.
Anyway, number 4 on Eric's list is the theme from MASH. And apparently he learned this song when he was in his 4th grade music class. And Eric says, who teaches a 9-year-old lyrics like, suicide is painless? Yeah, well, very true, Eric, but I guess it was a different time. These days, if a kid makes a gun out of a Pop-Tart or has a sticker of the Confederate flag on his backpack, he's going to jail and the whole school is on lockdown. And sadly, I'm not even making that up. And come to think of it, I kind of miss the good old days when our teachers just kind of encouraged us to kill ourselves.
Oh, it was so good.
Regardless, number 3 on Eric's list is the Rockford Files. And he says, is that lead riff from a harmonica, a guitar, or an organ? Who cares? It rocks. It just rocks. Number 2 on his list is Emergency, which I don't really remember. But number 1 on Eric Conrad's list of favorite TV show theme songs, The Sons of Thunder. Eric says, who can forget this brilliant theme song? Well, I can, because I don't think I ever heard it. But apparently it had something to do with Walker, Texas Ranger, which I also never watched. And Eric said that it must have been inspired by the great band, the Sons of Thunder. He says they were a band who split up due to theological differences and was over way before it began. Well, that's very interesting, Eric, because I was not aware there was a real band called the Sons of Thunder. I know that was the name of the fictitious band in the movie Airheads, played by Galactic Cowboys. But that is some cool information, and thank you for that and your great list. And perhaps now I should give you a list of my favorite TV theme songs of all time.
There's no reason for that.
No?
I've had enough of this crap.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe some other time.
Get it over with.
All right. Well, thanks to everybody for your emails and top tens.
You can go to hell.
Okay, time for another scary story. And once again, you know, if these are too intense for you and they make you lose some sleep, I'm sorry. But it's the Halloween season and it's time for some tales of horror. So join me now for a journey into the world of the macabre. It was a day like any other day. A man and his wife are having a pleasant evening when suddenly the wife turns to her husband and says, "You know, I'd really like to get a cat." The husband quickly dropped to his knees and screamed, "No, no, please no, I beg you no." But the wife was persistent and she kept saying things like, "Oh, really, they're no trouble at all. You just leave food out for them and they basically just take care of themselves." Still, the husband cried, "No, please don't make us do this." But there was no changing the wife's mind. And a few days later, she brought home a little black fur ball from hell.
That's terrifying.
At first, the kitty seemed just adorable. He'd lay around and do nothing, and from all outward appearances, he was just merely useless. But as the weeks rolled by, they started noticing that the kitty would tear up the carpet. And so they got a scratching post, but he never used it. And they had a litter box, but he didn't want to go in it. And suddenly the husband didn't find the kitty quite so adorable. Now that in itself would be scary, but oh no, there's more.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No!
Oh, trust me, there's more.
You kind of want this story just to end, don't you?
You see, after spending hundreds of dollars on kitty litter, cat food, and getting his balls cut off, the little pussy got a bladder infection, and the family spent about $300 in vet bills. The moral of the story? Well, if your wife says she wants a cat, just say no. Seriously. I'm just saying. Well, that was extremely scary, but there's some new CDs that have come out recently that are just as terrible. Terrifying. Actually, some of them aren't too bad at all, but in staying with the Halloween theme, prepare yourself. Some of these albums are not for the weak of heart.
Because they suck.
Oh, well, anyway, let's start out with a new one from the Butcher Babies.
Give it.
The Butcher Babies are fronted by a couple of hot chicks, which is always a good thing. I mean, it worked for ABBA, and it worked for Heart till one of them got fat. And this CD works pretty well if you like your stuff heavy. There's some pretty good riffs, and musically it rocks. I just wish they'd sing more than they scream, because when they get melodic, I like it a lot.
And it was in that moment that I realized, subconsciously and also consciously, I just really don't care.
All right, here's another band that has a scary chick as the lead singer. They're called Huntress, and the name of the CD is Static. The name of that song was called Four Blood Moons. And there was actually a blood moon a couple of weeks ago. Did anybody see that?
What the hell is that?
Well, I did, because my wife was all about it. And she made me go out on the back porch with her, and I looked up and I went, okay, that's cool. And I went back inside, and about 5 minutes later, she had me come back out, and I'm like, yeah, that's still cool. And then about 30 minutes later, I'm in bed, and she comes in and says, you gotta see this. And I'm like, I'm good.
I'm glad I didn't see it.
All right, this next band used to be kind of scary back in the 80s, and here's a new one from Wasp. Remember when Tipper Gore wanted to put parental guidance stickers on metal albums? One of the ones she wanted to warn parents about was Wasp. But now in 2015, the leader of Wasp, Blackie Lawless, is now apparently a born again.
Good Lord!
The name of the CD is Golgotha. And I really don't think it's great, but if you're a Christian or Tipper Gore and you were afraid to listen to Wasp in the past, well, now you can.
It's just such a blessing. Thank you, God.
And finally, I had to check out the new CD from Queensryche, Condition Human. And though it's no Operation Mindcrime, it's not bad.
Insurrection, this time we're playing for keeps. Arming police like a million.
The guys in Queensryche are great musicians. The songwriting is really good on this album. And I gotta say, their new singer is excellent. The only problem I have with him is that he sounds so much like Jeff Tate that, I don't know, there's almost something about it that bothers me. The tone of his voice and even the vibrato are almost identical. And it's almost like he's doing an impersonation. But in another way, I guess it's kind of cool because it makes him sound exactly like Queensryche. So I'm going to give Condition Human a big thumbs up and tell you to check it out. It's a really good CD. Okay, once again, scary story time. And please, I don't want your emails telling me that you had nightmares after you heard these things. You've been warned, so here we go. It was a day like any other day when a man and his wife are sitting there having dinner one evening, and she suddenly out of nowhere turned to him and said, "Hey, you're gonna have to go to the DMV for me tomorrow and get the tags for my car."
No! No! No!
The man quickly racked his brain trying to think of excuses why he couldn't do it. But before he could speak, his wife handed him the paperwork. The next day, the man drove to the DMV, stood in line, and then found out he didn't have the proper title. So he went back home, got the title, and then drove back to the DMV. After waiting in line, he got up to the counter where the DMV employee told him, "We're gonna need some insurance forms.
Serenity now!"
The man finally went home, had lunch, and then returned later with the insurance forms. Only this time, after standing in line for about a half hour, he was told, "You're gonna have to have these papers signed by the insurance company." The man was filled inside with demonic rage, and he was seen typing a text message to his wife proclaiming that he would like to kill everyone in the DMV. The man spent a total of 3.5 hours there that day. He eventually got the tags for his wife's car, and fortunately no one was murdered. But to this day, the man continues to have reoccurring dreams that he is still stuck at the Department of Motor Vehicles.
I have never been so afraid.
Wrapping up things with some odds and ends, I wanted to give some shout-outs to a couple of fans. First of all, Chad Sides on Facebook went to one of these comic book-type conventions called Dragon Con. And get this, he went as my Gas Fist character.
Wow, that's weird.
To those of you familiar with the paintings that I do of the guy wearing the gas mask, you know what I'm talking about, and Chad made up his own costume where he had the suit and the gas mask and the whole thing. And he wore it to the convention, and he said people were digging it, and I thought that was really cool.
But it also is super creepy.
Also, thanks to Patrick in Kansas City and John in San Antonio for buying my paintings and CDs. And thanks to everyone for listening. I'm sorry it took me so long to get this episode out there, but I've been working on some stuff that I think you guys are really going to like. I can't talk about it yet, but trust me, if it happens, you guys are going to be very pleased.
Well, I mean, can you imagine what that would be?
I hope you enjoyed this special episode of the Rockcast, and I hope you all have a happy Halloween. I know everyone around my house is all excited about it, including Mr. Kitty, who celebrated by jumping up on the table, getting inside the bowl of candy, and taking a whiz.
How precious is that?
Yeah.
It's really gross.
But anyway, I'm going to end this show by playing you one more scary song. It's off of a new CD by Hawthorne Heights. And why is it scary? Well, because I'm afraid of heights. Outside of that, it's not scary at all. But it's close enough for me because I'm not that crazy about Halloween. In fact, I really can't wait for it to be over.
You know, you're a joy.
But that's gonna do it for me for now. So until next time, this is Monty saying take care. Don't let anyone tell you what to like unless it's me. And
rock on.
Nights.
That's it.